The scripture reading this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Verse 14, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all God's people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen."
Somewhere I put down my Bible. Here it is. Which isn't so important, except my sermon notes are in it. It was just over 40 years ago that a young man stood in front of a church waiting for his lovely bride to walk down the aisle. After she got up to the front and we listened for a little while, I stood listening to a pastor who was talking about, among other things, this passage, or at least part of it, that Paul just read, especially the part about love, about praying that you, being rooted and established or grounded in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, to know the love that passes all knowledge. Well, maybe it was nerves. Maybe it was thinking about the honeymoon. But whatever, I don't really remember a whole lot of what the pastor said about that passage. I have to admit that. But what I do know is that for over 40 years now, that passage has been something that for Jan and me has been a special section of God's Word. And it's been a passage which has been our guide in our marriage. And it's been something that, especially as we think about the wonders of love, of human love, but also especially of God's love, has been something that we have been working on and still have to work on, because we still don't have it all figured out after over 40 years. There's always, as you know, a place to renew a dedication in a marriage and in many other relationships as well. And that's the way it is in the church. Whether it's after 150 years, as the Christian Reformed Church has been celebrating for now the 150th anniversary of its existence, or 43 years for us here at Valley Church, there's always a time to renew our commitments and our dedication. And that's the way it is for each believer. Whether you are a new convert, somebody who just last night made a commitment to Jesus Christ at the festival, or whether you've been a Christian for years and years and years, Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 3 sets in front of every one of us a lofty goal. Now, goals can be easy and goals can be difficult. Some goals are very short-term and are pretty easy to meet. I have a goal that sometime this summer I'm going to read the latest John Grisham novel. Now, that one I ought to be able to take care of. If I can get a hold of the book, it's too cheap to buy it, so I've got to get it out of the library. But anyway, that's a short-term, simple goal. Other goals are going to take you a whole life, and this is certainly one, this prayer of Paul. So let's get at it. Let's get at it with a vigor and an enthusiasm as we today ask ourselves, are we ready and willing to renew our dedication to Jesus Christ and to be a follower of him? And I want to start, even though realizing this is a huge challenge in these verses here in Ephesians chapter 3. It's a huge challenge, but I want to start with an encouragement. It's pretty easy to pray a prayer of rededication when you know that that is exactly what God wants you to do. There's no question in my mind that when you think about renewing a commitment to Jesus Christ that you may have made earlier and to rededicating yourself to serving Jesus even more, it's the right thing. It's something God wants you to pray for. Don't have to wonder, is this the will of God? He's made it very clear in the Scripture. Just like when a couple, sometimes they do this after 10 years or 25 years or whatever, they'll say, we're going to renew our marriage vows. And that's a good thing. And you know God is pleased with that kind of a decision to make. And so it is when you pray that you want Christ to dwell in you more and more, when you seek more and more of the Spirit's power, when you pray that you will know and practice the love of God in Christ even more, that you will be a better reflection of God to people around you. Well, first of all, you can know this prayer is in line with God's will. The Bible tells us to do it. Straightforward, simple. But obviously, it is not an easy prayer. In fact, it's a huge challenge because this does not come automatically to me, and I expect it doesn't to you. It's one thing to say the words. You can take your Bible and you can read, starting with Ephesians 3:16, I pray that out of His glorious riches that God will strengthen me. Change the you to me. Strengthen me with His power through the Spirit in my inner being, that Christ will dwell in my heart through faith. I pray that I, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that I may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, I can say that. You can read it. You could read it along with me if we'd had it up on the screen, or if you want to reading it out of your Bible. Real easy. But the doing. There we go again. The doing is a different deal. And that is a constant challenge. And it calls for continuing rededication. I think Paul knew that very well. In another letter that he wrote a little bit later, he wrote to the church in Philippi. He's talking about himself. And he says, not that I've already obtained or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. Did you catch the language in there? It's the language of a marathon. I'm pressing on. The goal is still out there. I keep on going. I keep on. This is not, we're not talking sprint here. 100 yards and you're done. A few seconds and phew, it's over with. This is the 26 mile. This is the long haul type of thing. I'm certainly not a marathon runner. I have no aspirations to do anything, and I admire people who do. But if you hear stories from the Boston Marathon that, what is it, two-thirds of the way through or so on, there's what they call Heartbreak Hill. And it's a place after you've been running the race for quite a while and you're really starting to get drained, and then you come to a hill. And that's the place where a lot of runners are really tempted to just bag the whole thing and to quit, and to give it up because you can't go any farther. And that's where you got to renew, get a new push of energy. You recommit yourself, say, I'm going to make it. Even if I have to crawl my way the last 5 miles, I'm going to make it. There's that time of renewing a dedication. It doesn't come automatically. And I know that's true for me in the Christian walk. It's true probably for you too. One of the things that oftentimes people in the Christian Reformed tradition have been accused of or have been described as is saying, look, we tend to be people who are more on the intellectual side. We kind of go, this talk of revival and emotion and stuff, I'm a little uncomfortable with it. I'll admit it, I am. I'm much more comfortable taking a great big thick book, I've got it on my shelf, the Manual of Christian Doctrine, Louis Burkhoff, Christian Reformed guy. He was good at writing thick books of theology. We do that well. But The living out sometimes is more difficult. The praying for God's strength, something we need. Somebody wrote, and I don't know who this person was, but said, Christian Reformed people aren't inclined to pray until they run out of ideas. And it's difficult to imagine them ever running out of ideas. Interesting observation. I think there's a certain amount of truth to that. We struggle. Even though prayer ought to be our first commitment, yet when it comes to prayer time, prayer meetings, it's the last thing on most of our lists. It's a challenge. Constantly challenging us to renew our commitment to be followers of Christ. This calls for focus. It calls us for commitment. Paul has in Ephesians chapter 3 here, I guess you could look at it and say there's like three rungs on a ladder. Now, it's not like rungs that you do the first one, get that done, then you go on to the second one, get to the third one. But it's kind of like three different parts of the way to get to that high goal. And it's something that Paul realizes, I think, that we're not going to get to until we get to heaven. We might as well be realistic about that. But that doesn't mean that because these are all challenges that we can just be apathetic and say, well, I'm not going to ever accomplish it perfectly in this world, so, someday I'll get to heaven and it'll be all set. Certainly not that. Rededication is a call to a decision. It's to a commitment. It's to a focus. It's just like with a marriage. Marriage is a call to commitment. You make a statement and a commitment to that other person in the presence of God. It's a choice. Rededication is much the same. And so we pray, like Paul does in here, and we work, like Paul does in his ministry. And we pray, as Paul says in verse 16, that Christ in 17, that Christ will dwell in your heart through faith. There's a power in order for that to happen. It doesn't come naturally. It doesn't come automatically. But he talks that you may be strengthened with power through the Spirit in your inner being. That power we need to live a life that really pleases God is the power of Jesus in us, the power of the Holy Spirit who indwells us, Christ in me. That's a hard concept to grasp, but somehow God says, I will give you my Son. And he does that through the Spirit. The Lord is the Spirit. There's a connection between those two. And so the Spirit comes and dwells in us. And we get the power. You know, power doesn't come, you know, if you're an athlete, one of the challenges that a lot of athletes are facing, we want to build up muscle fast and got to get an edge on the other person. And so a big thing in sports, a big problem in sports now is the use of steroids. You can get an injection, put something in you, and it helps you to quicker pump up your muscles. And you got to step. But that's not the way it is with the life of knowing, having Christ dwell in your heart. That's a matter of faith. You can't get an injection. It's an ongoing commitment of living in faith. And then we have to pray. The second part is to know and to live in love. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, that to know that love that surpasses knowledge. And again, this is something that's an ongoing challenge, to know that love and to experience it. And what is that love? It's not a mushy adolescent infatuation type of love that comes one day and is gone the next. It's not the kind of love that sometimes we use, you know, say the word, you know, a little kid goes up to mom or dad and say, Mommy, I love you. Well, give me what I want. You know, this tool that we use sometimes for that. That's not what I'm talking about. But it's the kind of love that says, I'm going to give myself. It's the kind of love that Jesus showed for us so perfectly. Heard a really neat story from last week. Sorry, Danny's not here this morning, but I got to share this. You know, here's little Danny. What is he? Two? Three. Just turned three. And, you know, but he was really upset with me last week because I was talking about Jesus isn't dead and Jesus is, you know, alive and stuff like that. But Jesus died. he was very insistent. Maybe you noticed Shannon had to take him out because he was very insistent. He was going to tell the pastor he had it wrong. I had it wrong. Jesus died for my chin. Yeah. But, you know, at this age already, he's got the idea that somehow or other what Jesus did was for him. Jesus gave himself. That's what love is. Jesus died. Danny's right. Jesus died. Now, he's got to learn the rest about the resurrection and all that other stuff. He'll get to that, too. But it's that giving love. And that's the love that we have to keep committing ourselves to, the love that we need to fuel and to refuel any of our marriages. If you're married, you need to continue and go back and forth and to recommit to live that love. It's that love which Jesus says, that's how you become a witness to the world. By this, people will know that you are my disciples. The world will see it, that you have love for one another. That's the indispensable, and we got to keep on committing because it's so easy for that to just kind of get so sick of people sometimes, and we have to love them. It's that kind of love that, and it was so neat to see this in the newspaper, that with the protesters over at BU who were, you know, protesting the Franklin Graham, and to hear somebody, you know, the stories of people on Friday night when it was hot out there, and some of the Christians who just came over and gave water to the protesters. Why'd you do it? Somebody asked them, and they said, because it's hot. Yeah. Well, that's love. Don't agree with what they're saying, but look, they're people, and they get hot, and they get thirsty, and you can give them a cup of cold water. That love is not up here. It's not an intellectual thing. I've never been able to come up with a definition of love that I think really is a full definition. But I know it when I receive it. I know it when I am loved by Jan or by Betsy. And I know it, at least to some extent, when I give it. So that's another part of it. We pray to know and to live that love. That's rededicating ourselves. And then finally, too, in this, we pray to be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Verse 19. Whoa, wait a minute. Now that's where it's almost beyond comprehending. To be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's pretty audacious saying on Paul's part, seems to me. But, of course, Paul was not one who stepped back from some audacious things and from some pretty strong statements. I mean, this is what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, we who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, we are being transformed into the image of God with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Think about that. If you as a Christian, I as a Christian, we are being changed more and more to look like God. Wow. Or he puts it this way in Ephesians 5. He says, so follow God's example. Be an imitator of God as dearly loved children. Walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering. Back to the love. But he says, you can imitate God. God so loved. Your love ought to be that kind of love. And before you say, well, this is impossible, that I will ever come anywhere near to be filled with the measure of the fullness of God, why bother? Just remember, nothing in the Bible is wasted. Nothing in the Bible is wrong. If it says so, it's there for a reason. It's there because that is to be the lifelong challenge that every believer needs to be working on. To just keep going, to try to become more and more the reflection of God to people around you. It's a little bit, This lifelong challenge, it's a little bit like a balloon. This isn't a perfect example, but it's the best I could come up with. You blow into the balloon, and it looks like that balloon is full. Great. Yeah, it's all right. But then you know what happens? You blow again, and it's full. It's full. It's full. You know, it's one of those life, you keep on going. Now, you know, I'm just, like I say, there's limits to this. First of all, you're never going to get equal to God in this life or even in eternity. God is always God, and you're not going to be like, but just when you think, maybe I've arrived, you can keep growing. Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to go anymore. This will break if I went farther, and I'm not going to do it. Feel better, Beth? Feel better? Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know you were quite worried, and so was Julie and her girls. But anyway, but the idea that this is an ongoing, just when you never get to the point of arriving, but you can keep on becoming more and more, and that calls for a regular, daily renewal of dedication. And so this becomes a very needed prayer that Paul has here for us. It's a needed for the church. We've been talking the last 3 weeks about the Christian Reformed Church celebrating 150 years of its existence. And this afternoon there are going to be 15,000 or so people gathering in an arena in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And what they're going to do is they're going to be remembering and rejoicing and rededicating the three parts that we have done these last 3 weeks. And the Christian Reformed Church as a denomination needs to do that renewing of its dedication. It's an ongoing thing, and we're a part of it, and we need to do that too. We need to do that as a congregation, as people of God here at Valley Christian Reformed Church. We need to be renewing our vows to become more like Christ in all that we do, in our actions, in our interactions with each other, to be Christ-like in our compassion for a lost world, to be Christ-like in our living together in the church with love, to be Christ-like in our concern for the children and the young people. We had a wonderful breakfast this morning, and just to celebrate the fact of the Sunday school classes and the children's church and the youth activities and so on. And we need to be Christ-like because Christ loved these children. And we need to be Christ-like in confronting that which is evil and wrong in our world. That's something as a church we do, but the only way we do it as a church, remember, is as we do it as people. Because who is the church? It's us. And for each of us personally today is the challenge to continue, if you've made that dedication and commitment to Jesus Christ, to continue renewing that commitment. Not that you have to do it because you lost it and it's done, but just because there needs to be always an ongoing emphasis, a personal recommitment, that we will be, and that I will be, let's forget the we talk, let's look at it as I, that I will be more and more a person of prayer, that I will more and more be aware of the needs of people in my community who do not know Jesus Christ, that find a way to share my faith with them, that I will interact in my family, with my spouse, with my children, in the way that the love of Christ calls me to live. And that I will more and more be aware of all kinds of needs, needs in our community for the hungry, needs for of those people who are mentally ill, those who are abused. There's all kinds of needs that we become more and more aware of them and do what I can to meet those needs. And what a task! Huge! In fact, again, it's lifelong. We're never going to get to the end of that one and say, now I've arrived. And so how do we do it? Well, today we come to the table of the Lord. One of the things you do when you eat communion is you receive strength. You're fed and you're strengthened. And then as we do that and as we go, remember the promise to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Remember that promise, as together we shine ever brighter the light of Jesus Christ in this valley. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us your Spirit. For we know that there is no other power that we can draw on that will enable us to do this, to live this way. We know you want us to live. So we pray that day after day, we will renew our dedication and our commitment to become more and more the man or the woman or the boy or the girl that God wants us to be. To be more and more like Jesus. To be more and more a reflection of God in our world. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who showed us what love really is all about. Amen.